Okay, checkity 1-2. Hey. Oh, that's pretty. I like that. I like that, Paul. Can you play that again?
Oh, yeah, Billy Joe. I can play that all day long, I tell you what.
That's pretty.
Oh, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Second Break with Luke and Bill.
That's prettier than a new pig, Paul.
I'm Luke. And that's Billy Joe over there. Today we're about to tell you about something spiritual. It's
going to
be real pretty. I'll tell you what. Yeehaw! Phil, did you know that I can't play the mandolin?
I can't either.
Well, we have something else in common.
Yeah, I can't play the banjo either. What about you?
Yeah, no, I always wanted to play the banjo, but all the picking.
All that dad blame picking. It's the grinning that I have trouble with. The picking I'm okay with.
Yeah, Phil over there just picking and frowning.
No, picking and a grinning. Where did that come from? I don't know.
I have no idea.
I think, I don't know.
Welcome to Second Breakfast with Lucas and Phil. I'm Lucas.
We're here.
That's Phil. We're glad you've joined us. And today we have a lot to talk about, I think.
A lot.
Well, maybe a little. Who knows?
I don't know. It could go about 5 minutes. It could go.
Yeah.
Well, it won't go an hour. I got to leave at some point.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about some really, really cool stuff. Lucas is going to tell us about all his girlfriends.
All my girlfriends?
Yeah. Isn't that what you said? You said you had a lot of girlfriends.
Hey, no, Tori listens to this show, Phil. You're going to get me in trouble.
We've got
a lot of fun stories. We got a lot of fun times.
We don't know what stories we're going to tell. We just have some ideas about stories, questions we're going to ask each other.
Yeah, Phil, there's just, you never know when it comes to the show. We don't plan.
No, we don't plan this, so that's one of the reasons that I enjoy this so much. We talked about this. It's because it just happens.
Yeah, it's conversational.
It's not like we come to the end and we go, well, we didn't get done what we wanted to do on that one.
Yeah.
Because we didn't really have a goal.
No, and it's nice. It's like you, me, and 36 of our best friends all gathered together.
Just hanging out.
Which kind of sounds like what's going to happen at the end of this month, Phil.
That's right. Just except then the other people will be able to talk, which now it's very comfortable because it's just you and me. We don't have to...
Yeah, it's more of
we don't have to wait for anyone else to finish.
It's a monologue with two people.
And sometimes we're listening to each other. Sometimes we're just talking on top of each other.
Hey, that's the way I like it.
That's like my family. It's just everybody talks on top of each other.
See, now you're in trouble too. It's beautiful.
My family is amazing. Yes, I can edit that out. But I won't edit out the part about my family being amazing. I'll edit out the part about them being. What did I say? Anyway.
You said they just talk on top of each other.
Yeah.
You don't listen to each other, Phil.
No, we do.
Welcome to therapy with Phil.
Welcome to, Family Problems with Lucas and Phil. So, how's your week been?
It's been great. Yeah. It's Tuesday. Yesterday was Monday.
Well, I mean the space between last Monday and today. I don't mean.
Do you want to know the best thing I've eaten?
I do.
Is that really what you're asking me?
I don't know. Best thing you've eaten, or maybe tell me about something interesting you had for breakfast. I have actually a complaint about breakfast, but you start.
I start. No, you start with your complaint.
No,
negatives first.
So here's the thing. It's more of a question than a complaint. It's a complaint in the form of a question. What's the deal with Canadian bacon?
You sound like a 70s comedian.
So,
so what's the deal with Canadian bacon, huh?
Jerry Seinfeld. No, I had a McDonald's, Egg McMuffin.
Oh, yes.
It has Canadian bacon on it.
It's ham.
And I'm like, it's not bacon. Is that a slam toward Canadians? We're like, well, this is the best bacon.
This is the best
Canadians could come up
with. They tried really hard.
I'm like, this is the worst excuse for bacon ever. Let's call it Canadian.
It's just ham. I mean, especially on a pizza, I do think there's Canadian bacon is something different. But on
that, okay.
I just thought it was ham on the Egg McMuffin.
It is. It's just ham on your pizza, too. You're just having ham on your pizza. Anyway, so I'm not a big fan of Canadian bacon.
I'm so sorry.
It's all right. You know. It's not bad. What about you? What was the best thing you had? I've been negative. Now you be positive.
All right. Two things because I want to take up more time than I'm allotted. Tori made these coffee cake muffins that were just divine this weekend. They were really, really good.
So just
good.
Baby coffee cakes.
Yeah, just baby coffee cakes.
Individual, like, coffee cake.
Yeah, because then you can eat the whole thing and not feel bad.
Eat the entire coffee cake.
Delicious. Had the brown sugar crumble on the top with the cream stuff anyway. Yeah. It was wonderful. And perfect with coffee. And then I went to Big Baby, and I got an apple fritter from there. And
Big Baby. Where's that?
Big Baby Rolls and Donuts.
Oh.
Give them the shout out.
Yeah. Is that where is that now?
That's over on 11th and Harvard, right before you get to Tulsa University.
Wow.
So
I haven't been there, and really I guess I've heard of it.
Well, they have a lot of gluten-free stuff, which is why I go.
Ah, okay.
So for all of our gluten-free listeners.
Yeah, shout out to Big Baby.
I know of at least two gluten-free listeners. The G-Free
reminds
fam.
Reminds me of me because you always call me a Big Baby.
Yeah, you are. So...
Yeah, I kind of am. I am. I admit it. I'm okay with it. I don't know if I'm okay with it. I own it. I am a big baby in some ways.
I'm not okay with it, Phil. You need to get better. Be better, Phil.
Yeah. Okay. I'm working on it. Yeah.
Go ahead and write us at secondbreakfast777@gmail.com. All the different ways that Phil can
Phil
be better.
Phil is a big baby. Yep.
All right, Philip.
Yep. Well, do we have... A dad story.
Dad stories with Lucas.
This week.
We do. So your bets.
Yes.
Take your bets. Bet some pancakes. Bet some coffee. Bet whatever you want except for money. Don't do that.
Poop or no poop.
Bet some Dogecoin on poop or no poop.
Poop or no poop.
I'll pause for dramatic effect so you can make your bet with whoever's sitting in the car with you that you are forcing to listen to the podcast.
We're choosing and we've chosen.
Phil, what did you choose?
I didn't choose.
Well, come on. You have to choose.
I'm not going to tell you what I've chosen.
Because you're going to change your
that
answer.
That's right.
I'm always right. All right. So recently I have become a better husband and started waking up to help take care of the baby at night. So Tori and I take nights instead of taking shifts. We'll switch nights. Because
excellent.
Only wakes up – some nights she only wakes up once a night. Other nights she wakes up like four times. So you never know what you're going to get. It's, you know, it's kind of like a box of chocolates. And,
yeah. Yeah, listen up. Future dads and dads, your wife says, oh, no, I'm fine. I got it. I don't know.
Yeah,
I think you need to do it anyway.
Help out,
you need to say, let me do that anyway.
It'll help
I know you're fine.
It'll help your marriage.
Yeah.
And so it has
– Step up.
This is a recent thing, but I don't want to act like I'm a super husband. It's been a recent thing. It's been a development. Anyway, and I've enjoyed it thus far, although I'm a lot more tired today than I have been in the past.
Those are great times. Those nighttime cuddles with that baby.
And that's what my dad's story is about today. Was
all right.
So last night, or really this morning at like 5:15, when she had gotten up at 4 and I let her cry until she went back to sleep, trying to teach her that she needs to sleep through the night. So I go and get her at 5 and she just kind of cuddles up with me and then she grabs my beard and she goes, Dad. It was just the sweetest thing. And she's starting to like understand that I am dad, and it's not just a random sound she can make. So it's pretty cute.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was so much fun.
Amazing.
So
well, okay, so is that the story?
That's the whole story.
That's worth it. I mean, that totally is
One day Naomi's gonna listen to this podcast and look back and remember.
Yep. She'll listen to it, and you'll say, what'd you think of that, Naomi? And she'll say, it was fine. It was okay.
Dad, you're kind of a dork. Stop.
Dad, leave me alone.
Dad, I don't want to talk about that.
You're ruining my life.
Hey, Phil, I remember before we had dad stories that you were going to do a segment where you reviewed music every week.
That was a bad idea.
That was a terrible idea.
I would have to listen to music.
And you have terrible taste. I'm just joking. They're okay.
Oh, man. It was really hard to find popular songs that just didn't completely disgust me.
For real?
It just would have been okay, Boomer. It would have been just me griping about
this
kids
week,
these days.
Phil reviews WAP.
Kids these days.
Children.
Yeah, it would have been really grouchy. Not, I don't know. It would have been really hard. Yeah. So I decided I don't do things that are difficult. I'm a big baby. Yeah. Anyway, so if you voted no poop,
you are the
won.
Winner. Tell your partner that you voted against to pay up.
Yeah. And now if you want to bet, you can guess. You can bet whether Phil will know the Gen Z word of the week.
The answer's no.
Or not. The answer's probably no. But yes. I have known three or four, so
I'm probably,
that,
yeah.
that the what, odds
this,
on that,
is this
the payout.
33?
Episode 33. The payout on me knowing, you know, yeah. if you vote yes, you can got, like, really make some pancakes.
10 to 1 odds. 10 to 1 odds yeah. here. All right, Phil.
Yeah.
Here it comes.
Okay.
Gen Z word of the week. Gucci.
Gucci?
Gucci.
I think we've already done this.
Did we already do Gucci?
I think we did. I think it. Okay. Does it mean? Oh no, no, no. We did bougie.
We did bougie. Yeah.
Okay, 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 okay. Gucci, I think, means about the same thing as bougie.
What does it mean?
I think it means like stylish.
If you thought Phil was going to get
well,
word.
Bougie means like you're rich.
Yeah.
Like you got a lot of stuff going on. But Gucci, I think, means stylish.
Phil.
What?
You're wrong.
Okay, fine. Man.
Gucci simply means good. And where you're
that's all?
That's it. So, just but it good. Comes from the high-end fashion brand Gucci.
Well,
and so they'd be like, "Hey, your hair looks Gucci today," or like, "Hey, no problem, man. We Gucci." Like, "Hey, it's okay. You messed up my order at McDonald's. We Gucci." You know, it's just kind of the
wow.
We good.
Yeah. So I'm Gucci. Right, but I'm wrong.
Well, no, you're mostly wrong.
I'm mostly wrong in my rightness. Or am I right in my wrongness?
You know what, Phil? This is a problem. You can't justify your sin. You have to let it go. Repent. Repent and turn.
All right, fine.
Or else always
I was wrong.
You're always going to be a boomer, Phil.
I was wrong.
You're not even a boomer,
I didn't
you?
Know. No. Well, sort of. Kind I'm like half boomer, half Xer. But anyway, so yeah, here we are.
Well, you made it.
Yeah.
Now, Phil, the question for today is, have you ever just shouted, "What am I doing?" That's pretty much what we're talking about.
Yeah, well, have I ever just shouted? Well, I do that thing where I shout, "Why did I come into this room?"
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, which yeah, I used to think that was for old people.
You get to the – well, now you are.
You don't have old. To be old to do that, though.
How old were you when you first started?
About your age, I think.
Yeah, I'm getting old.
And it's just, it's kind of, I looked it up. That's a psychological, it's called, I think, the door syndrome. The doorway syndrome. When you walk through a door,
oh, yeah.
you tend to kind of forget whatever you were thinking about.
I tend to be really bad about that if I have my phone out. So
right.
if I just do what I'm supposed to be doing and go do what I need to do, I don't forget. But I get distracted easily.
Yeah. Do you do that thing where you're about to pick up your phone and search for like gluten-free pancakes in Dallas, Texas,
yeah.
and you get a text and then you forget what you were going to search for?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so it's not just because I'm old.
Yeah.
I do that
It's what
too.
We do. We're humans.
Yeah. So – but no, we're actually going to talk about more of a serious, a spiritual side of that. What am I doing? What is –
God's will for our lives.
Siri thinks I'm talking to her. Never mind, Siri.
How do we discern God's will is kind of what we want to talk about today,
right.
which is a really complicated question on sometimes. So,
yeah. You know, I kind of, by way of introduction in that, I said we were going to talk about all your girlfriends. Do you have like, it doesn't have to be like a girlfriend or a date, but do you have something like when you were younger – that you thought, oh, this is going to be great, and you kind of knew that it wasn't the right thing to do, and you did it anyway, and it just turned out to be terrible. Do you have anything like that that comes to mind?
Yeah, so I'll tell a story that is pretty embarrassing, and I don't know if I told Tori this story. So.
Well, I'm just telling her now.
Yeah, this was, I think I was in 9th grade, and I had asked this girl out, and her name was Nikki. And she had said yes, and then we dated for like a week. And by dated, I mean we didn't go on any dates. Like we were at school, like, that's
right.
my girlfriend.
That's right. You yeah. sort of labeled each other.
Right. So a weekend, she's like, I think we're going to break up. I'm like, okay. And then I write her this letter that says like all this stuff. And then at the end, it was like, and in the words of a famous artist, which now escapes me, baby, come back. So this is it. I'm in a
Hall and Oates, by the way.
Oh, yes.
Baby, come back.
You can blame it all on me. Yeah. Well, anyway, so we're in different hours of band because I go to the high school for band and she stays at the junior high. And she passes the note around so all the band can see it for everybody. I'm like, oh, my goodness. So she says no. Well, then like a month later, she comes back and she's like, okay, I do want you back. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm not that stupid. I'm not that dumb. I'm pretty dumb, but I'm not that dumb. So anyway.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Dummy, oh, man. Dummy freshman Lucas. So.
Yeah. That's.
What about you, Phil?
Awesome
you tell on
story.
Yourself.
It's, you know what? I've had a lot of things I've done in my life that were not God's will, you know, where I just sort of did it my own way. I do think, you know, thinking about the whole junior high dating thing, there was the girl in junior high that I was just – I had such a crush on, and I just thought she was way out of my league. And I got up the nerve to ask her to – oh, it must have been like a school dance or something like that. Mm. And she said yes. And I was like, what?
Yay!
She said yes. And literally, we went to this event. I don't remember what it was. All I remember is that it was so boring. And I don't want to say she was boring, but because I was kind of a quiet kid, you know, I wasn't like life of the party or anything. But we just, we did not hardly speak the entire night. And it was just torture.
Yeah, middle school.
It was horrible.
Terrible.
Yeah. So I, yeah, I, you know what I learned after that? And it's just, not, we're not talking about dating, but. Little kids, little kiddos, grown-ups, if you're not married, be friends first.
Yeah.
Your best friend makes the best spouse, right?
That's right. Amen. That's,
I can attest to that. And Bronwyn best, is my best friend.
But you can't reverse that because your best spouse.
Your only spouse.
Your only spouse should be your best
yeah,
friend.
Yeah, it's going to be your best friend.
Not
or,
the other spouse.
Or one, you know. A great friend. You need a great friendship with your spouse. So we're talking about, you know, discerning God's will. How did you know Tori was going to be the one that you were going to be with the rest of your life?
I saw her and said, she is mine.
Seriously?
No, but like we met and hit it off really well. We weren't friends for super long before we started dating. For a couple months, but immediately when we started dating and really just felt like she was the one and prayed about it, sought the Lord, and just felt like it was green lights. I don't think there was any so on my side, I never really doubted it. I know talking to Tori now, she's like, yeah, I had my doubts, which makes sense. I married up, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm the reacher, sees the settler, if you know about that. So,
nah, Lucas, you're awesome.
Thanks,
but she
Phil.
Is great.
She's even better.
Yeah.
Let's be really honest.
Yeah, I think with me, I remember, I don't think it was love at first sight. In fact, after the first time I spent any time with Bronwyn, I told my roommates, I think I'm going to marry her, but I don't really like her. Because there were some things that we kind of initially had some conflict. Yeah, it was probably because she didn't I was kind of full of myself and she wasn't impressed. But the first time I saw her, it was almost like love at first sight. I literally saw her from across the room. She was new at college. I was in college. She walked into the choir room, and I was sitting kind of up at the back, and it was like there was a spotlight on her.
She's
it was the most incredible thing.
The prettiest girl in the whole wide room.
Yeah. Yeah, well, she was definitely the prettiest girl in the whole wide college, that's for sure.
Top 10 on the street,
Depending on the street, yeah. So, it was almost kind of like love at first sight, although, you know, it took us a while for our relationship to develop. But, and yeah, we did that. We sought the Lord. We prayed. But, so we're kind of talking about God's will in relation to big things like, you know, your job, your career.
College choice.
Yeah.
That's all the
those
big
kind
stuff.
Of things.
Buying a house, what you should eat for dinner. what podcast to listen
what
to.
What podcast to listen to? I can tell you.
Yeah, yes. Listen to Second Breakfast, Lucas and Phil. That's God's will for your life.
Yeah, definitely. It is.
98% certainty.
Yeah, and everyone should. Yeah. That's really the point of this podcast, is that God's will is for you to listen to.
Yeah, so here's what you need to do. Tonight at midnight, I want you to set up your largest speakers, open all your windows, and put them as loud as possible.
Because you'll be fulfilling God's will.
Your neighbors are going to hear Second Breakfast. Don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that. Anyway, that might not be good.
So, Phil, that's the question. So, yeah. You know, we in marriage, we talked about that. But in those big decisions, and even in smaller ones, I won't say minor ones because there's not a lot of minor decisions. But how do we know that it's God's will? Like, how do you discern that? How do you see that?
Yeah, so, man, I'm going to give a really, really frustrating answer. I'm going to say that's the wrong question.
Ooh.
So I think if you're asking what is God's will for my life in this situation, you're asking the wrong question.
So what question should we be asking, Phil? Wise one?
Well, I think what you ought to be asking is, you know, what is God like, and what does God want me to be like, and how can I be what God wants me to be? In other words, not what is God's will for my life, but what is God's will for me? You understand what I'm saying?
I hear you, and I think that comes back to that identity we've talked about, where when we firmly have our identity implanted in God, what is maybe not God's will, like every step of the way for your life, but who does God have you to be?
Right.
And I would even go the direction of as well, we can ask, how can I best glorify God? Which takes the emphasis off of me, because I think sometimes we get so selfish in thinking, God, just tell me what you want from me. Like, I don't want to be here. I want to be somewhere else. Or like, I just don't know. There's two good choices here. Which one do I take? And like, but then if we were to ask ourselves, which two of these choices glorify God more?
Right.
That's always his will.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's looking at the will of God, we have to begin by looking at how can I glorify him? You know, is either of these things sinful? Because if it's sinful, it's not God's will. What does Scripture say? Can we read that to see? Because he's not going to contradict himself. And so, you know, if you have two choices, go ahead.
Here's my problem with that whole discussion is you're still only giving God the two choices that you have in your brain at that moment.
Oh, good point.
You know, I think what we have to do is to try to allow him to control the conversation. I think sometimes we pray and we ask God and he doesn't answer and we get frustrated. But the problem is we're talking about stuff he has no interest in.
Yeah.
You know, we want to come and talk to God about, Lord, should I take this job that gives me more money, or should I stay here at this job that I like my boss? Or we say, should I date this girl or this guy, if you're a female? And we say, should I do this thing or should I do that thing? Should I buy this or what? And it all tends to be about what's right in front of us.
Yeah.
It tends to be about surface things. It tends to be about this life, this earthly life. Most of those conversations we have with God don't tend to be about the kingdom of God or the glory of God, like you said. They're about us. And so I think that's where you can get set free from this question of, oh God, what's your will? If you can kind of get off of the topic of yourself, what you want, what feels good. Am I making sense?
I hear you. I think it is important we get off of the topic of what's the best for me and we what the best is for the kingdom. On a spiritual level, figuring out how to honor God spiritually and not just, you know, what's the best for my flesh.
Right.
I think I want to give a warning too on that, though, that I think sometimes, you know, Toy and I have talked about this, sometimes you look at a situation and you see the options and you think, obviously the one where I suffer more is where God wants me to go. You know, that's obviously
right.
And that's not the way it works.
No.
God does have us to suffer sometimes.
Right.
He has us to go through trial and temptation, suffering for his cause.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that if you're suffering, you're in the will of God.
Yeah. Yeah, so I looked up quotes about God's will. And what something you said there really made me want to read some of these. And they kind of have this tone of – most of the quotes tend to be about this idea of, you know, making me happy. As much as you – this is a quote about God's will I found on the internet. And you can't lie on the internet, as you know.
No.
As much as you want to plan your life, it has a way of surprising you with unexpected things that will make you happier than you originally planned. That's what you call God's will. Well,
yeah.
I don't know. I guess. I don't know. Some of that can be true. I think it's definitely true. What is it? You know, there's an old song, some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. You know, when you want something really bad and God says no, and it turns out better than you ever could have hoped. And right. I think some of that's very true because God's will is for our good. His desire is for our good, but will it make us happier if – well, I don't think you're ever going to be happy if you are focused on you being happy all the time.
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because that's a recipe for dissatisfaction.
Exactly. If all your focus is on you and your happiness, and that's where, too, if you're depending on the situation to determine said happiness –
right.
If God's will is for you to be where you're happy. Right. Like, God's will is for you to be joyful wherever you are.
Right.
You know?
And so, God's will is for you to be joyful in Him.
Yes.
I mean, to get joy from Him and to spread that to the world more than to find joy in your circumstances in your life.
Exactly. If you're waiting for the situation to determine your level of happiness or your level of peace or your level of comfort, I mean, you already messed up.
Right.
God's will is for you to draw that from Him.
Yeah, and give that to your situation. But yeah, if so, here's another one, and this is on the opposite side. This is from Dietrich Bonhoeffer, so you know it's going to be heavy. It's going to be solid. Deep. Being a Christian is less about cautiously avoiding sin than about courageously and actively doing God's will.
Oof.
So he's taking God's will and you know, if we're thinking about God's will for my life, finger quotes, you can't see if you're listening my finger quotes, but they're
really here. Good. They're really big.
God's will for my life. He's flipping that. He's saying, no, just God's will, like what God wants, courageously and actively doing God's will.
And but that one comes across a whole another podcast we could do, but just about you don't live your life skating on the line of how do I closely avoid sin, but how do I run to God as fast as possible.
Yeah.
So, Phil, I think, I mean, we've determined in what we've talked about here, maybe not super clearly, but essentially God's will for your life is to seek Him.
Yeah. Right?
Like that's His will for you. Seek Him, glorify Him, honor Him. His will for you is to be more like Him.
Yes.
All of those things.
Yeah.
But what would you say, I mean, we have listeners who are college-age students trying to determine their career choice for their life. We have people who are maybe a little bit older than that but have major decisions on what to do.
Yeah.
And they're trying to determine, you know, and maybe one's not a sin. Neither one's a sin.
Right.
They don't know what to do, Phil. So how do you see what God would have for you to do in that? What do you do in those situations?
Yeah.
Because I think if you're so focused on it, you can lose sight of the Lord. But it's still something you have to make a decision.
Right. And I think what you said is if you're so focused on it, you can lose sight of the Lord is the biggest key. Because I think what you have to do, if you're so upset that whatever your certain situation is, then you're not really going to be able to hear God clearly guiding you as to whether – I mean, I think about if you're upset in your job, and that may be – relates to some people, maybe it doesn't, but if you're so upset about how bad it is right now, you can't really hear God say, I want you to leave or I want you to stay.
Yeah.
But the same thing is true. If you're so obsessed with getting it right, with finding out what the answer is about going to this place or not going to that place, then you're not going to be able to hear.
Yeah.
You have to keep your focus on the Lord. And I would just say, man, this is an annoying answer, but I believe it with all my heart. You need to just know Him better. The more you know Him, the more natural that choice will be. That's the first thing. The second thing is, I just got to say, you're a son or a daughter of God. It is going to be very difficult for you to mess this up. He is with you. He is in you. If you make, you know, let's say one of those places would be better for you, and God knows that, and if you somehow misread him or hear him incorrectly and you go to the quote-unquote wrong place, that's not really a thing in God's plan.
Yeah.
You are his will. You know, you carry his will with you, and wherever you go, you can be who he's designed you and called you to be, regardless of your circumstances. So I would not worry quite as much about making the right choice or the wrong choice in that situation. Now, if you're rebelling against God, you can get it wrong, and I've done that.
Yeah.
And that's bad. it doesn't make him leave you. He still is with you, even in your suffering that you brought on yourself by rebelling against him. He's still with you in it. But if you're honestly seeking him, it's not going to be a bad thing.
No. And that's, I think, I mean, those major decisions, when we get so focused on the choice rather than focused on God, and we get so focused on him giving us an answer rather than focused on him, is where we kind of get messed up in the first place, because we're not going to see an answer when we're so focused on the answer.
Right.
We need to be so focused on the answerer.
Yeah, because the answer comes from him.
And that's – so I just remember at 19, the summer I met Tori, before I met her, coming to the place of just, God, if you have me to be like Paul and never marry, but I have you, that's more than enough and that's what I want. And it was almost immediately, a couple of weeks later, I meet Tori, and God's like, all right, here she is. Like, you're ready now, you know? Yeah. Here she is. And I wasn't really super ready, but—
And I've heard so many people that had that experience, and I had a really similar experience with the Lord. And it was, Lord, I was crying for a girlfriend. I mean, I was lonely. All my friends were dating seriously, and I wasn't. And it was a similar kind of situation. I was like, okay, Lord, you know what? I get it. I want you. And it wasn't but a few days later. I mean, the Lord did not have me sit in that place very long. It's almost embarrassing to tell that story, because I think, oh, people are going to expect God to just, oh, you know, zap, turn right around.
It doesn't always work that way.
It does happen, though.
Yeah.
God is, he is kind to us.
He is. And I think in any situation we're in, when you're focused the wrong way, turning your attention to God, and he's going to answer you. You know, it's, you know, I don't know if he'll give you an audible yes or an audible no, but he's going to talk to you, and he's going to show you the way, and he's going to guide you. Like you said, he's always with you. He's always with us. Yeah. I also turn just in scripture. We look at the prophet Samuel when he was younger, and he was living with Eli as he was being trained up, and he heard a voice, and he would go to Eli to ask him, yes, what do you need from me?
Right.
And eventually Eli is the one who pointed him and said, okay, this is God speaking to you. You need to listen. Here, say, I am here. What does he say, Phil?
Lord, I am listening.
Yes.
Or speak, Lord, your servant is listening in some versions.
And so—
I love that.
Yeah. I think that's one of the things. If you don't know what to do, if you feel like you're in a place, I can't tell you from the podcast what to do with your life.
No.
But I can tell you to go find an older believer, someone you trust, seek wise counsel, multiple wise counsel.
Yeah.
When I have these major decisions, I go to seek wise counsel about it. Whenever I was thinking about marrying Tori, I went to seek wise counsel about it. Am I ready to be married?
Yeah.
No, you're not, but do it anyway. whenever, you know, the call to ministry, that's something, seeking wise counsel about it.
Yeah.
All of these different things. Moving to Tulsa, seeking wise counsel about that. It wasn't just like a, here's what I'm doing. But I can say, if you're so glued to one thing and you won't give it to God, you've already made your choice. And that's what it's about in that. If you're whining for a girlfriend so much and you won't even think about, well, what if God has called me to singleness, then you're never going to see if he's called you to anything.
Right.
And so that was, in any situation, it's giving both to God, because you know what you want. What you want is the one you're not willing to give him. You know, God, please help me choose to between being a teacher or a doctor. I really want to be a doctor, So I'm really hoping that's what you say. Until you're willing to give both of those to God or any of those to God because he's going to tell you to go be a janitor, you know? Let him have the choice. Don't hold on to it. Yeah. Give it all to him.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. So God's will is for you to know him. And, you know, we come back to that so often on this podcast, but Lucas and I, we are of one heart and one mind on this regard. We have, you know, Lucas at his young age has come to the same place that I've come at my not quite as young age.
It's close, 30, 40 years.
Yeah, we're only about 30 years apart. Is that there is only one thing worth seeking in life, and that is to know God.
Yeah.
As the focus of our lives. So yeah, that's and you know what? If you do that, the rest of it, I won't say it'll fall into place because I never want to guarantee your life is going to be good. It's not about your life being good, but if you do that, that's good.
Exactly. Well, I think it's
you'll enjoy that.
By other people's standards, your life may not be good, but glorifying God always makes your life good,
and it feels good too.
It's the one
just
yes,
to know
where
God.
You be.
Yeah.
Just to know God.
Yeah.
To be known by
and
him.
And to walk with him. So yeah, what a great conversation. Great
fantastic.
Podcast.
Fantastic. So Phil, Minute of Culture.
Minute of Culture.
Tell us something.
Flippity Fish.
Flippity Fish. If you have not seen the ad for Flippity Fish, let me tell you, this is the hottest product on the market right now.
Flippity Fish. I said it last week. If anybody looked it up, had already looked it up, I expected to get some kind of comments on the social media, but nobody even caught it.
Yeah.
But this is... And it's kind of appropriate here with the bluegrass music playing in the background.
Yeah, so it's this fish, a motorized stuffed fish for your cat to play with. And
yes.
It has a catnip pouch in its stomach.
A catnip pouch.
Now, you can't get much better than that.
No. I mean, your cat is going to be so happy. If you're a cat person, I'm not.
Me neither.
No, we're allergic to cats at our house. Although I grew up with cats. My wife is allergic.
We just love Jesus at my house, so we don't like cats.
Yeah, all dogs go to heaven. All cats, well, all bets are off. So but if you do have a cat, I don't know, maybe Flippity Fish would work for a dog,
Flippity
too.
Flippity Fish. I think the naming was beautiful, though.
Flippity Fish.
Flippity
Fish. I can't believe I live in a world where there's such a thing as Flippity Fish.
Yeah.
If you get a chance to find the ad, look it up. I don't know if it's on YouTube. We saw it on a random TV at a restaurant.
Flippity Fish. Whether that confirms or denies your claims,
I think it confirms the human race is that we are headed in the wrong direction.
Flippity Fish! All right, listeners, we love you.
Repent.
We are glad that you have chosen to listen to our voices, one deep and soothing, one slightly less. So you decide
only
who's
slightly
who.
Less.
We love you guys. We're glad you've chosen to listen. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, please email those over to secondbreakfast777@gmail.com, lucas@eastwoodtulsa.com, or phil@eastwoodtulsa.com. Or if you have any complaints, send those over to jeremy@eastwoodtulsa.com. I already said second breakfast 777.
What? I was thinking about
Phil,
something else.
If you expect the listeners to listen, you have to listen.
We love
you guys. We'll see you February 27th.
Somewhere.
We were going to do Neighborhood Jam. I don't know if it's going to work. I'm calling them to see if they have an extra space we could use.
Yeah.
So we love you guys.
Somewhere we will have love and pancakes together on February 27th to celebrate a year. And records a segment, and it'll be awesome.
Merry
Ready,
birthday!
Love and pancakes.
Woo! Woo! Get a bell!
That was worth hanging around for right there.
Hillbilly hip hop coming around town, and you see.